This week on RSBNB Update, we have big changes for the mining and smithing skills. Players see it as a nerf, and it is. But remember what it was designed to fix? Stone spirits. We have that discussion, plus look at how mining XP rates are after the change. This is RSBNB Update, episode 763, recorded Thursday, February 6th, 2020. Trickle Down RuneScape. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. And boy, it's been an entertaining week this week, hasn't it, Tanis?
It's had its kind of ups and downs, a little rocky and rolling.
Yeah, and some real funny stuff, some real disappointing stuff. Of course, this is all outside of the realm of RuneScape, which the bulk of you guys here are probably what you want to hear about. But nonetheless, welcome back to another episode of RSBNB Update. I am Shane12088, and he is Tanis79 in-game. We both keep our chats on, which is just something I've always enjoyed doing, you know, because it's all about being accessible and interacting with the community and the listener base, as it was. And that adds a certain level of authenticity to it, and I wouldn't have it another way, I personally feel, but I don't know why content creators don't, maybe just a deluge or something to that effect. But if you've got a deluge of people who want to talk to you, surely you have volunteers in your community that you can sift through all that and, you know, find a way to talk to them. So there's no excuse for not being able to do it. If content creators tell you otherwise, they're lying.
Yeah, they're lying. It's all about building that community.
Yeah, and that's what we like
here. Not us, you, we.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I think we're definitely going to hopefully shine the light on in our talk about the update this week, because there's been one fact of this update that has been completely missed by everybody that I've seen in talking about it. We'll get to that shortly. But, of course, the meta update of the week is the mining and smithing changes, which people have been asking for a long time, haven't they?
Slick there, buddy. They've been asking for
One specific change.
A stone spirit fix.
A stone spirit fix. Right.
I don't think they envisioned this
quite
like that.
No. And you know, I'm talking about this, and you know, I think everybody's most favorite part of the mining and smithing rework was, you know, nice, we have, you know, tier 90 armor and whatnot you can make, and power armor too, really good masterwork armor, which I have never heard any complaints about. Everybody loves that side of it. But yeah, remember when it came out, everybody always talked more about the mining side, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the favorite thing for me was not having to compete.
Not having to compete with everyone.
That
yeah.
was the biggest. That's just that was the biggest part of the rework for me.
Yeah,
for me personally.
Yeah, and you know, Jagex, and I'm going to make a joke here for those of you guys who get it. Jagex primarily are attacking this problem on the supply side.
Dude, oh my god! I was right before the show. I was sitting here going, I know why Shane likes this. Is this a supply side economics? I'm like, so even though supply has no bearing on price, we're going to deal with this on the supply. I'm like, oh my, dude, I knew it.
For anybody who is wondering what this is, supply side economics is effectively a plank of macroeconomic theory, policy, if you put it into action, that says that you can stimulate the economy or control the economy purely by controlling the taxes. If you want to have more economic growth, supply side theory says lower taxes and deregulate. And when it comes to this on the mining side of it, well, the idea behind this is that, hey, we need to control the flow of ore coming into the game. Hence, supply-side economics for the mining and smithing changes, or at least on the mining side.
Yeah, but I'm going George Bush on you here, and that's voodoo. That's voodoo economics, Shane.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see how this goes. After a while, I'd say give it a few weeks to a month to see how all this percolates up into the economy as it stands.
Well, and notice, like, not only is it it's like supply side on steroids, because
it really
yes,
is.
You're attacking the ore in one way,
Ronald
but
Reagan and Margaret Thatcher would be very pleased with this update.
And they're manufacturing, they're trying to manufacture demand through the supply, the oversupply of the stone spirits. I'm like, how?
Bonus so, points out there if anybody.
For Jeremy Corbyn
bonus points out there if anybody decides to write an economic paper on RuneScape and brings it back to supply side economics. But just a bit of a historical context here on this, because, you know, I like historical context. People's main chief complaints of this were the stone spirits, right? And if you look at the price of a stone spirit, let's just go over the last year since when they came out.
That was I'm going to say the PVM probably community's biggest gripe.
Yeah. About it. So the 365-day average for stone spirits, the Animica, light Animica stone spirit, is 6,714 GP. With the current price sitting at 7,801, the high point at 95.27 back in December, and the low point at 52.41 back in May of 2019. Now, just for some clarification on this, before the show began, I went out and I bought a stone spirit test, the light Animica stone spirit, bought for 10.2K. So that's way above what the market value is, and it sold for 9K. That's the light Animica stone spirit. And, you know, everything is in flux, of course. You'll have to wait and see what the demand is on these ones at the end of the day, after everything calms down and it works its way through the economy. Give it a few weeks to a month for that to happen. Dark Animica stone spirits are currently sitting at 4569 GP with a 1 year average of 3786. That one bought for 3.3K and sold for 3.3K, which is under the market value currently on that. Now, I did have a look at some of the other stone spirits, like the ones we get in copious amounts, like the gold, the coal, the runite, and whatnot. Those ones were not selling this week at all. So, what
worthless.
We... Sorry, say again?
I said because they're worthless.
Yeah. What it looks like on the surface is happening here is that the stone spirits that were not converted, or rather, sorry, the stone spirits that are not dropped in mass amounts, like if you want to see what drops a light Animica stone spirits, it's, you know, big bosses like Solak and whatnot. Whereas the other ones you can get from your Saren spirits, and you can get from regular monster drops, Slayer drops, that kind of thing. So what I'm seeing with this is that the high-end stone spirits at the end of this, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this, that the high-end stone spirits like the Animicas and Bane and the Necrite and whatnot, I think those are probably going to come out fine at the end of the day in about a month once everything calms down. That's my guess on this after seeing the way the economy has gone this week on it. Now,
if your goal is to, if that is the goal.
Yeah.
Right.
And see, that's where this discussion is ultimately going to go. Is your goal to get the ore or is your goal to get the XP? So, and that's a discussion we need to have on this. Now, you're probably wondering, how does this all factor into stone spirits? Because, I mean, if you look at this news post, it really doesn't mention stone spirits at all. Which is unfortunate. It just mentions it in a sentence or two on here. And when I say it doesn't mention it, I mean it doesn't mention it at the point of this update is or was initially perceived by the community to fix the value of stone spirits. But what this update is perceived as is a nerf to mining, because if you drive into this news post and if you drive further into the patch notes, it says currently you deal 80% damage to the rock you're mining even when your stamina is at zero. After this update, that value will be changed to 20%. And of course, your stamina restores itself when you mine a rock again. And here's the key point about the news post that everybody's missing. Or by consuming a stone spirit while under the effects of a perfect juju mining potion. And the perfect juju mining potion allows you so that whenever you consume a stone spirit, bam, your stamina goes back up to 100%.
Right.
So the idea behind this is to encourage the use of stone spirits and perfect juju mining potions to maintain AFK mining.
Well, and that's the key. Like, people thought this was all pertaining to AFK mining.
Yeah.
And when it didn't, when it appears that it might be taking a bigger bite than just AFK mining, at least 2 XP, that's where the rub comes in.
Yeah.
Because no one was asking for a mining nerf. They were asking for a stone spirit thing for fix, right? But I don't think anybody was asking for a mining nerf. And this is what if you see this in adversarial type terms, right? The skilling community understood there was a price for the mining and smithing rework. That price was the ore wasn't going to be as expensive. Because there was no competition for it. We wanted that. We knew the price would be lower. Where that comes in at was on the smithing side, because smithing would be slower. So you would be getting more on the smithing side.
And smithing has already been brought up with the auto heater.
Right. Right. But I'm just saying, like, so I feel like mining wasn't a problem for people that wanted to mine smithing rework. It was only a problem for people that weren't getting the ore drops that they were used to.
Right. Exactly.
So you got a nerf to, you know what I mean? So you got a nerf to something that people really weren't asking for.
Yeah. And see, this goes to the whole point of the question, who is asking for stone spirits to be made valuable again?
Yeah. It wasn't skillers. I'm going to venture to say.
Yeah. And, you know, with these changes, stamina will no longer also deplete while mining Saren stones. And Saren stones have had their HP increased from 1500 to 2000.
Yeah.
So the de facto, or rather the go-to AFK mining method now is Saren stones as was initially designed.
And that's fine. Like, when you're talking about AFK, what this should have done, if it was going to do anything to do with the ore side, like if that was like one of the major goals and all that, this could have been like done in a completely different way. Yes.
Because, you know, I made a point to you earlier that if you look at the Animikas right now, in terms of where they sit value wise, you know, an Animika, a dark Animika is 4.8. or 4.9, and light Animica is 5.3. And, you know, when you factor that in, because remember, the top isn't just, you know, one runite ore and one, or eight coal, rather, nowadays. It's also rune bars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rune bars, which is 2.2K right now. So when you factor all that in and you add in the rune bar, the Animica, the dark Animica, you're at, you know, 12.9K for the price of a Elder rune bar, which is on par with what they were before the update, right?
And with what? Yeah.
And, you know, Jagex was on record when the mining and Smithing Rework came out last year that they didn't anticipate the huge level of engagement that they got with it and the amount of ore that would have come into the game. So as a result of that, prices, ore prices, were indeed tamped down for about the first 6 months or so.
Right. And see, this was sold to us as an AFK mining nerf. And the reason that people
I just
want to
stop
like,
you right
okay,
there. It was sold to us. I'm going to underline that word sold. But the sole intention of this purpose, if you go back to the dev blogs when Ma Jack and company were initially talking about it, was to bring the value of stone spirits up.
But when they told us that the way they were going to do that was through
AFK
a nerf
mining,
on AFK mining.
The, I'm going to say these words here. The community perception took a hold. And then, lo and behold, this update is just branded as, you know, changes to the mining and smithing skill, which in turn lets the community brand it as a nerf to mining. Which it is, but that shouldn't have been how it was presented.
Well, I mean, I don't, man, it is what it is.
It is a nerf to mining, but it should have been presented as a fix to stone spirits.
No, it should have been prevented as... This is the only way that we – look, we wanted you to have – we wanted mining to be exactly as it is. What we didn't intend for is we didn't want you having 5, 6, 7 alts going up at the same time. Bringing shit. No, but that's true.
Yeah, no, I know. Let's talk
everyone
about that now.
Everyone believed in that. Like, but – and everyone accepted that. I think that's when people were like, yeah, totally, you know.
Yeah.
And
because you could just run them AFK, right?
Yeah, and that's why, like, you needed the stone spirits, you needed... So their solution last week sounded okay. But then this week, when it comes into practice, it's not just that. You know, it's a nerf to mining, not just an AFK nerf to mining. And that's where that's the difference, you know. I think people were perfectly fine accepting, yeah, you shouldn't, you don't need to have 5 or 6 bots, or not bots, but you know what I mean, like AFK accounts doing this shit. Okay, I mean, I think people can accept that.
Yeah.
They weren't expecting the hit on the XP side, and that made things worse, because now people were seeing boogeymen everywhere.
Yeah, and... you know, there's been a lot of misinformation going around about this, because one thing we haven't even mentioned thus far is that if you take a sip of a perfect juju mining potion or the perfect plus potion and you use a stone spirit, your stamina is going to recharge right away whenever you mine.
Right.
And a stone spirit.
And when you're talking about AFK mining, I think that's perfectly fine. Now, if you need that, though, to get like the top XP rate now, then it almost feels like it's putting it along the same lines as what the farming nerf did, with meaning we're bringing the XP down, but if you want to pay for it, you can still get the old.
Well, I mean, it's not even going to be just stone spirits. It's going to be a bit more interaction too, because, you know, mining a dark Animica, I went down to about 50% or so stamina before I was able to get the rock and have the stone spear replenish my stamina.
Okay, so I mean,
so this is at 99 mining. I didn't have my familiar out on this test that I did, but it takes up until about 50% stamina to get that light animica rock and have the replenish. But,
so it leaves you with. It leaves you with the only choice being
you're going to need to click every few strikes. No, you don't need to four tick it. I think if you click every somewhere between maybe every 5 to 8 strikes, you'll be fine.
Man, I wish I knew how long that took. Like, well, I feel like clicking every few seconds is fine, but if you're making people do it, like, I mean, there's nothing that would.
Let's do some live science right now. I'm at a mining site.
Ooh, I like live science. Let's do this.
Yeah. So, for everybody wondering here, listening on audio, I am at the Light Animica mining site in the Tyrannan Forest. I have out a Lava Titan, which boosts my mining level by 10. I'm also running my mining cape, which gives me a 5% double ore chance on all core rocks. And whenever I roll to get more ore from a core rock's seeds, you'll get bonus XP equal to that. So it's a bit of extra XP. But this is, you know, the top-end mining outfit, including the full Magic Golem outfit as well. And I'm going to turn the sound settings on loud enough here that everybody will be able to hear it, even if you're just on audio here with this, because it's going to be very important. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to click the rock, and Tanis, you'll let me know if you can hear it. Can you hear the chimes in the background?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you'll do is every time you hear me hit a rock, just do a subliminal count in your head. Count the number of times until I say I'm at, say, 50% stamina or something like that. And I'll call out the XP I get each time, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're just going to click it, and I'm just going to let it sit, and I'm going to call out the XPs. So here we go. 68. 62. 67. 69. 67. 67. We're at 75% of the way through. 81. 76. 56, 50%, 47, 42, 44, 36, 40, 25%, 27, 33, 22, 24, 29, 17, stamina is gone. 23, critical strike. 12. 12. 13. 22, critical strike. 12. So you can see what exactly happened with that. How long did it take? How many strikes did it take me to get to 50%?
Like 10.
Yeah, 10, right? And yeah. See, that's what we counted, because when you are level 99 mining, you have a bank of 190 total stamina, and every time you hit the rock, it goes down by 10. So with that, it, like you said, about 10 strikes to get to 50%. And I think based on the numbers I was calling out, it was about 50, 60% or so of the way there that you really started to see the drop-off in XP. That's what I felt, at least on that. So what I feel based on this is that, you know, if you're clicking, you know, maybe every 5 strikes or so, I think you're going to be fine. 5 to 7, you're going to be fine as well. But if you let it go more than that, you're going to start feeling it. Which isn't for taking it, but it's not completely AFK. So I think that's a fair compromise in that regard. I don't know. How do you feel?
I would like somebody maybe to ask that in the next Q&A.
The relationship between stamina and XP? Damage?
And what's their expectation of active versus passive?
Play. Yeah. And you know, just a bit of a recap on how all of this is supposed to work behind the scenes. I've got the article for the mining skill here, and they got a really good section of it on the wiki, which I recommend everybody read at your own leisure if you don't mind math. So damage per swing is calculated as your mining level plus your strength level divided by 10, rounded down, then a damage roll that you get whenever you hit your pickaxe, the net hardness, which is going to be the penetration of your pickaxe minus the rock, and then add a crit bonus onto it. And then there's going to be something in here in this formula at some point, maybe at the end of it perhaps, or on the damage roll, that is just going to be based on stamina. So that's the question we need to know is, you know, how does the relationship of stamina affect the XP multiplier? Is it linear, going straight down, or is it some kind of curve one way or the other? And that would be a good question for somebody to ask out there. And if there is a live Q&A next week, I will endeavor to slip that in. Because I think we could all benefit from knowing that.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Other notes to take home on this. If you're at full stamina, you get a plus 25% damage bonus per swing. So four ticking it will always be a benefit. And between 1 and 99% stamina, you get a 12.5% damage bonus per swing. And this might also be another place where they brought in the nerf on the damage per swing side of things, is based on the stamina at this stage of the calculation. So we'll just have to wait and see how exactly that new equation works. Because when they did this rework, all the documentation and these formulas were written down in the document. So it would be good to know that, just to, you know, continue the tradition of transparency that there is around the skill rework, I think. So,
yeah.
All right, what next? We talked about stone spirits and their prices and the perfect juju mining potions. You know, one other thing that I just want to mention with this is that I did a test of buying these potions. They're listed for 30K on the exchange right now. I bought them for 20K, so they are going below market, the perfect juju mining potions.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we should talk about what you have discovered, Shane.
Which one is that?
Pre-show. About having certain opportunities out there.
Yeah, I know there is that very popular post for all the wrong reasons on the website that shall not be named, that was insinuating that Rockertunities, you got more of them in the lower end of the stamina range. And boy, we blew that out of the water, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mined for 10 minutes and I made sure that I maintained, you know, north of 2/3 stamina on this. And in 10 minutes total, I got 48 Animica rocks and got 16 Rockertunities. And this was maintaining more than 67% stamina. So that's more than one Rockertunity a minute.
Yeah, and that, which seemed, that seemed normal to pre-nerf to me.
Yeah, yeah. So that wasn't taken down. And, you know, I think it's all a question of looking for the boogeyman in the wrong place. And I think everybody is just feeling... Yeah. The damage change one way or another. And when you look at it from the way we just did that in our little live demo, it's really not that big of a deal, I say. So, personally, that's the way I feel. I don't know how you feel in the XP community feels.
Well, I think with the test that we did, it's probably in an okay place. I wouldn't want it to go any... I don't think it should have to be any more active than that. I was real afraid. Like, my biggest concern was having to do something as active as, like, four ticking.
No.
And the only... You know, and not... And there being an alternative way to doing that would be to purchase, you know, stone spirits and juju mining potion, because that feels like it makes a gathering skill much more viable.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to go full sweaty four tick, you don't need stone spirits to do that.
Right. So I guess it's preserved in that way.
And clicking, clicking every 5 to 7 swings really isn't that bad in my book.
No, that's what I'm saying. From the way it sounded, it was made out to be worse than that. So, I mean, that's the concern. Like, my concern has always been on the XP side. The ore side, the market side, it's not, never been a big concern to me. I don't think that's been the concern on any of the, like, XP side of things.
Yeah. There's certainly enough ore in the game to keep it at a comfortable price for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, we knew. I mean, there is a cost to convenience. Like, and I think
Skilling, and this is the next big point,
knows that, you know.
Yeah, people asked for a fix to Stone Spirits. And there were many people out there who suggested fixes, like we suggested one for smithing them directly into salvage. And many people thought that, oh, maybe we can just make Stone Spirits a little bit more valuable. But just like with farming and herb lore, you're dealing with an ecosystem. And if you can solve the problem in the ecosystem, you're in a better position by rather than injecting some new item into it. It's like those farms that rely on animals for natural pest control, right?
Huh. No, I've never heard of such a thing, Shane.
Oh, really? You haven't?
Uh-oh.
Really?
Nah, dude, we're Americans. We spray that shit.
Okay.
Chemicals. Yeah.
Okay.
Man. It's fine. The deep fryer will work it out, man. It'll just fry all them chemicals right on out. Work good.
Yeah, and I mean, there's probably other options on the table, too, for fixing Stone Spirits, but the question is that needed at this point? And I think we're going to have to just wait a bit and see whether or not people adapt to this, because, I mean, the people who want XP are just going to four-tick. The people who want to AFK might use Stone Spirits. They might not. As a result, this might have the unintended side effect of making ore prices go up instead of Stone Spirit prices go up.
Wouldn't that be a bitch? Wouldn't that be a bitch?
But then at the same point, if ore prices go up, people will say, hey, let's turn to Stone Spirits and mine with those. So maybe we're waiting for the update to cook itself and then the second course to be finished. As in, we got to wait for these first changes to ripple through the economy, then have the second set of changes where people turn to Stone Spirits to ripple through the economy.
So now we're going from supply-side economics to pure libertarian fantasy land. Okay. My God. Making sure I'm keeping up here. But, you know, it would have been a better idea to let Stone Spirits aid smithing in some way as well. Make it faster, make almost, I don't know if I would say smithable things out of them, but something that created another use would have created another line of demand. And that's what you want to attack. That's what you want to increase. They're not worthless because there's too many of them. They're worthless because they're worthless.
You know what I just remembered? I just remembered a podcast we did last year about the value of Stone Spirits when we were talking to them. And I think I advocated a supply-side solution.
You probably did. No one you say you probably did. Yeah. But I also remember, too, that we talked about making them being able to make salvage out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was that. It wasn't all, you know, trickle down. Pee on me and tell me it's raining.
All righty, let's move on to the smithing side. I think we beat mining to death here.
I think so.
All right, and you know, I don't know if this is going to increase the demand for smithable bits or bars for non-Iron Man characters, but with this, from now on, each bar used to smith an item will be worth 4 invention parts or components when you break it down. So the way this breaks down, pun not intended, but I'll take it, is that if you have a two-handed sword that needs 4 bars, it will break it down into 16 parts or components. Whereas an Elder Rune plate body plus 5, which requires 160 bars, will break down into 640 parts or components. Sorry.
So that's a pretty significant
That's huge. Buff. That is huge.
Yeah. That's good. I know Iron Man, but I haven't asked him about this. I would assume that it's good, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean,
it would be really good.
The potential downside on this is that prior to the rework, they could just go to the stores and buy this stuff and get it at a good rate. And still, with this, you can't go to the stores. It makes them Smith for invention. That is one potential downside that I see for Iron Man.
They're not getting the same parts out of the stuff from the store?
No, no. That was the whole complaint about this from the beginning, is that the smithable components, or the smithable stuff out of smithing prior to this update didn't give as much as the stuff from the store used to before the mining and smithing rework.
Well,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, but at least this is, I mean, to me this sounds like an Iron Man solution. Right?
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Like, if you make it yourself, you get more parts. That sounds like the heart of Iron Man.
Yeah. And 640 for an Elder Room plus 5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I want to talk out of school. I don't have one, but
yeah. Yeah, I can imagine Iron Man being, invention being a really hard skill for Iron Man.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Also with this, the breakdown perk has been adjusted down to just be a flat 0.8% per rank rather than 0.8% per rank per bar. Just to make it, just to even things out. Also, Elder Rune equipment now has a higher chance of breaking into components rather than parts compared to other tiers of components. So Elder Rune is special. Component 1 has been increased from a 3 to 9% chance per roll, and Component 2 increased from a 2 to 6% chance per roll to break down into a component instead of a part. So, I mean, it certainly poses a very interesting idea, because what other thing can you get in game that when you disassemble it is going to give 640 parts?
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I mean, and that's actually, like, you know, we're talking about this in an Iron Man sense, but it's actually good for everybody.
Because you can make any of the various stages, right?
Well, yeah, and like, I mean, it's just smithable items, right? So yeah. If you made it, you get that much out of it?
Yep. If so, you want to disassemble it.
Right, but that adds another
and
use,
I think people wanted
people buying smithable, makeable,
bingo,
you know, items.
Bingo. Because remember, you can buy Elder Room plus 4, make the plus 5, and then turn it into Burial for insane XP on double XP weekends.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, an Elder Room plate body is GE valued at 2.6 mil, but having such a number like that, of course, you know, just buyer beware. So, I mean, this certainly looks immaculate. We don't have the Iron Man to necessarily complain about it or hoist it up as being the best thing since sliced bread, but it's definitely an interesting change. Now, the question I have is, will this increase the demand for Smith Elder Room for you and me, or in particular the non-Iron Man types?
Well, it won't for me because I'm 200 mil.
Invention?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. FYI, Elder Rune plate body plus 5 can break down into cover parts, plated parts, deflecting parts, strong components, or protective components. And, I mean, let's see, cover parts. What are you used for? Used for the furnace perk, the bulwark perk, confused, which no one wants, shield bashing, and profane, calorie bombs, lab coat legs, strong components are used for the devoted perk, the committed perk, the fatiguing perk, and the absorptive perk. Protective components are used for the polishing, shield bashing, hoarding, and demon bait perk. Lab coat, equipment separator. Nothing really out there is jumping out to me, so I don't know what this will do for you, not you and I.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. Well, let's just reserve judgment on this and see what happens on Double XP weekend with the price. I think that's a good thing to say on this.
Yeah, nothing like trying to drop a fix while the market's already
in turmoil. Flux, isn't it?
Woo! Let's just go for the gold. How many shocks can it take?
All right, patch notes or anything else on Mighty and Smithy? I think I've said all I needed to say.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Patch notes this week were relatively thin. Some hot fixes mentioned for the winter chill off, but that won't be back for a year, so that's fine. Audio-wise, a recent patch caused some issues with sound effects in-game this week. Fixes being launched that should resolve the issues on desktop. Sadly, due to unexpected events, this could not launch as part of the game update and are instead looking to warm fix this within the next couple of days, and a fix for mobile is in the works. And the idea behind this is that there's an issue preventing specific sound effects from playing on the desktop. In particular, one of those is chopping wood that I've noticed.
I hope we get a list of this because I'd like to know what they are.
It definitely would be good to get a list on this, but based on the fact it's in the engine, I don't know if it would be possible to get a direct list of everything that was affected.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Because when you have a game engine that's almost 20 years old, and granted, the game engine is 20 years old. The client was rewritten a few years ago. But the game engine side of things, when you have a game engine that's 20 years old, it is damn hard to figure out what the hell is going on in there unless somebody has a Bible written about the thing. So game engine problems are always going to be difficult or more difficult than other things to solve. So
it's a game. So I don't even really – I mean, I hear the term game engines, and I know like the Unreal.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. You have a game engine at the core, and that handles things like when you click on the map, it will guide where your character goes, or delivering sounds, or managing things like drag and drop. That's what a game engine handles, those kind of things. Rendering objects is another one.
So then we need to rebuild this sucker from the ground up, right? Like an episode of Counting Cars. We need to pimp this shit out, strip her down, build a new engine, right?
If you were to do that, you would have no game updates for 2+ years.
Yeah, but look at the pimped out car you'd have at the end.
Like, it would be 2+ years.
Maybe.
Hence why it hasn't been done yet.
I know, but like if it was a car, you would, right?
Yeah, you would, but you don't need to drive your car every day if it's one of those classic collectors.
I guess that's true.
Audio.
Shane.
Hmm?
You take all the fun out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, if you would have preferred, we can get Siri on at some point to do a 15-minute discussion on what a game engine is.
Nah, I'm good. Good.
All right. Fair enough. Audio for tuning the Shadow Reef portal and the Liberation of Mazcab have been fixed to play the correct sounds in, of course, War's Retreat. Also, the War's Retreat Reaper portal now checks for all normal access requirements when pointed at the God Wars dungeon boss. Oops.
What requirements, it wouldn't catch
you. Yeah, I think it was probably just, you know, saying, hey, if you haven't done the initial little mini quest to get into the God Wars dungeon, go fight Commander Zilyana.
Oh.
Because remember, there was a little mini quest you had to do.
Yeah.
So, hotfix, Ancient Ceremonial will once again bypass the kill count requirement when trying to enter the next boss arena. Good to know. Let's see. More engine fixes resolved an issue preventing the client from launching on some Intel HD integrated graphics. Fixed an issue preventing the launcher installer from working on older versions of Mac OS. Graphics issues with NPCs at longer draw distances while using the free cam has been fixed. Now here's a fun one. Non-direct skilling methods can now be utilized to progress a variety of Slayer tasks that could previously not be progressed in this manner. You know what this means, right?
No idea.
This is looking at things like the Ring of Recoil. And there's some aura that does this as well. I forget what the exact name of it is. Let me see if I can pull that up quickly. But the Ancestor Spirits aura, this is one that many people don't think about. Tier 3 for 50,000 loyalty points. When you activate it, whenever you take damage in combat, there's a 5% chance that your ancestors will appear and injure the attacking foe in retaliation. Damage will be based on your prayer level, dealing melee damage up to 2,500% of your prayer level.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it... I wish I'd say, I want to ask a PVMer, is this useful?
No. It's not useful because there's other auras they'd rather have for straight-up damage boosts or critical chance boosts.
Ah. Well, there we go then.
This is one of those ones that, hey, I'm running a level 3 skill or I want to go do some quests. Let's combine this with the Ring of Recoil and see what happens.
Okay, I gotcha.
Prior to Treasure Hunter coming out, we used to host a clan for level 3 skillers, and there were people actually in that clan with 99 Slayer without doing combat.
Wow.
Yeah. So these non-direct combat methods are something that do exist. And should definitely be looked into if you have a level 3 account, which is something I intend on doing. Because, you know, it would be so nice if I could do Fairy Tale Part 3 and get my magic secateurs, right?
If people are that patient, they probably should be on the list somewhere. Just saying. It's a lot of patience.
That's RuneScape players. I'd imagine there's lots of RuneScape players that could be on a list.
Probably. Yeah, right.
I mean, all you need to do is look at RuneScape Twitter. Place is almost as bad as RuneScape Reddit.
It's just Twitter. I think it's just Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's it for RS updates this week. I'm just going to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters before we move on to our listener question of the week. So this week, being the first of the month, I'd like to thank Brock H., Cameron, Cass, Christian S., Darren L., Diana, Jason S., Joe M., John P., Kyle, Rastafa, Rippeth, Seth W., The Naked Captain, Tom V., Zachary K., and Zez. Thank you, all of you, to your support on the podcast. It truly does mean the world to us. And if you're wondering what all this is about, just head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb, and there you can support the podcast monetarily if you so choose to. For as little as a buck a month, you get access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, early access to our show notes, a special mention in the notes, and you, of course, help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank, mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out every week on the podcast and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to form the clip show. And in case you're wondering what we do with all this, well, we got our monthly bit that's happening. We're actually recording that tomorrow. This one's about coping with negative cycles in the RuneScape community. We also have Inside RSBNB Update, which Tannis just put out last week, which was a very interesting look. It was a look at your accessibility setup and how you're actually able to kill the Queen Black Dragon with it.
Yeah. It seemed like a good place to go.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to set any records, but it was very interesting. So
right,
Patreon exactly. Supporters get to see that kind of thing. And in February, in spot of Inside Update, we'll be doing a variety show. So look for more information on that soon. We also got the round table. That'll be happening on Double XP weekend. I think Double XP weekends are the perfect time to do those.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was the inspiration, right?
Yeah. We had one of those before, and I said, let's just make this a monthly feature. And there we had it. So, and, of course, should we reach the mythical $99 a month tier? Well, that'll be movie night in the RSBNB Discord, where we'll watch some of our favorite movies, Star Trek probably included in that. So there we have it. Thank you once again to all of our wonderful Patreon supporters. You can find out more about this at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Alrighty. We have a question this week from Whitey via Twitter. He wants to know, he says, recently I looked at, or I unlocked the 500 Vires kills for the damage boost. I did this the Iron Man style and really enjoyed exploring all the content from Shades of Morden to the keys from Burning. What unused content do you really enjoy, Gabe? Tannis, you want to go first?
So, remember the, like, chess game? The thing down there with the Void Knight?
Conquest.
I like a good game of Conquest.
Okay.
It's incredibly hard to get a good game of Conquest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always liked that goofy little game.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a very different thing than what we knew about at the Void Knight's outpost before. So there's that. For me, it comes down to two. And you can correct me if I'm wrong if you think this other one is not a used feature in-game just because there's other options to it. But the first one is similar to yours. It's Trouble Brewing. It is one of the mini games that I can constantly get going if I want to with the clan. We have had countless fun clan quest Trouble Brewing games in the past, and I mean, you really only need about 10 people to make it worthwhile, and I mean, on a busy afternoon you can certainly fill that. So, and with the right kind of pre-setup with that, you can make it happen, no questions asked. So, you know, I think it's interesting we both said minigames.
Oh, gosh, I guess Conquest is a minigame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't think you get Thaler from that one, though.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Or no, you do get Thaler from that one. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Right.
You do. Let's see. Yeah, you do. Conquest will be back up on the minigame spotlight on February 24th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Currently, cool. Castle Wars is up. And, you know, the interesting part about this one is that Trouble Brewing is also on that list. So that's two that we chose. But there's another thing, and you can kind of correct me if I'm wrong, if you think this is one that actually counts, that is something that's less used in-game. Traditional runecrafting. Minus soul runes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say it depends on how you do it.
With the Abyss.
I actually think that one's kind of used, man.
Okay. Because I think when I think of runecrafting, I think everybody just says, oh, let's just go to runespan. Or if we're going for max XP and we're already 99, let's just do soul runes. But yeah. I'm thinking, you know, with the new power bursts, nature crafting, astral crafting, even elemental runecrafting. Because, I mean, people don't really think about it, but those power bursts, I think that one was one that was definitely overlooked when 120 Herblore came out. So, that's why I said
that's interesting. I mean, that's interesting.
Because what level 99 is going to go craft fire runes?
Not anyone I would know.
Exactly. Let's see. Power Burst of Sorcery. And this was one that they didn't tell us about, and it was just on the page when it arrived. Oh, that's nice. If you search for Power Burst of Sorcery, our video is on the first page, as well as another video. But the Power Burst of Sorcery has the effect of, after you use it, it doubles your runes per essence multiplier. And there's also, if you have one of the dinosaurs filled up in your Anachronia pen, it adds one to your modifier as well. So, and that's only for elemental runes. But let's see, where's the list of multipliers here? So let's just say you have level 105 runecrafting with a potion, right? You'd get 4 times fire runes. Add 1 to it, 5. So if you drink a power burst of sorcery, you'd be getting 10 times fire runes once a minute. And a fire rune is currently worth... let's see what... Pull this up. Fire rune is currently worth 78 GP. So I think that's definitely something to look into. But... And that's why I said conventional runecrafting.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going elemental-wise, then that's definitely...
That would be worth
it. Definitely traditional runecrafting. Maybe more traditional than that.
Astral, you have at level 82. So, I mean, with that, it's times 4 if you wanted to.
But those aren't elemental, are they?
No, they're not. So it would only be times 4, not times 6.
Oh, it still works, though?
The power burst doubles your multiplier for all runes.
Oh.
Yeah. So astral, well, nature's laws, death.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could just use that with nature's.
Yep.
Doing the
double
telehood teleports. Mm-hmm. Nature.
That's how I did my yak track runecrafting tasks.
It's not bad. I mean, I think there is still a little bit of money in that. I mean, a mill or two an hour. Maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, with that, I mean. Let's realize what we're talking about here. It's 2020 and we're talking about runecrafting, a skill that came out in 2004. And sure, you can say, oh, it's not the best XP, that's soul runes, or if you want the lean back, that's the rune span. But if you want to make money, runecrafting.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't know if people think of runecrafting as a moneymaker.
Oh, some people do. I mean, Bloods Through Abyss is still good.
Yeah, and I mean there's still too.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some ways. It's, yeah.
I wonder if the power bursts work with combination runes. I never did test that.
I wondered that when you were talking about the fire. So I was like, I don't know about fire, but you could probably do steam or something
mud.
Like that, you know?
Mud?
Mud, yeah. Oh, yeah, that especially...
Let me just have a look at the power burst.
But see, runes wouldn't be worth anything if I hadn't fixed that a few years ago.
Rune value improvements, right?
Yeah, with the Rune Goldberg, they added something that gave it a demand, and they cut it out of the stupid drop tables.
Yeah,
it was a simple fix.
And there's no ways really of getting runes except for a couple of token ones from drops, and maybe they should have just done that with...
Yeah, I mean, it was a simple fix, right? They didn't have to reinvent the wheel for that one.
Maybe that should have been the model. Yeah, I'm
going
to lean towards no on them affecting combo runes, because the essence multiplier is only for standard runes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to lean towards no on that. But yeah, I want to go runecrafting now.
Well... Have fun. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Yeah. Maybe I should go for 120 RC.
That'd be a hell of one to get.
Yeah, it would. It really would. Thank you, Whitey. If anybody else wants to send questions in or discussion topics to, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb. Or you can post them on our forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask. Thank you for your question, Whitey. It was a really fun one to talk about. And, you know, I could mention the Berthorpe Games Room as well, but I think at this point, if I want to play checkers with someone or Connect Four, I'll just get an app on my phone and do it. So.
Yeah, I would. I was trying to think, like, you think, is Soul Wars considered that? Because I love a good game of Soul Wars when it's on highlight.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking?
We're naming all these mini games.
It comes back to the fact there needs to be a mini game rework or something done to make mini games something people can, you know, just pick up and do, right?
Well, they tried, Shane. They tried.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
It didn't really work.
Like, it reminds me of the Star Trek Online queue system. There's a list of, I think, probably around 20 to 30, end game queues. We call them queues because you queue for them. But they're basically end game, scenarios that you play. And you just press a couple of buttons, choose which ones you want. You wait, you check your dailies and do other stuff. And then when it's time to go, you just get a message saying, hey, it's time to go. Press a button and you're automatically moved into the right instance. I don't know if something like that would work for mini games, or if there's even enough of a demand for mini games for something like that to be possible. You know, like just say, hey, I want to play a game of Castle Wars. Pick me up and take me in, kind of thing.
No, so. But I think that would be a great system to have for raids.
Yes, it would. Maybe even Elite Dungeons, too, now that you mention it, the true raids.
Yep.
Alrighty, we're going to move on to tech news right now. This one is about Facebook being lobbied by a UK group to stop with their encryption. In particular, the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children is urging Facebook to stop with their plan to adopt encryption, end-to-end encryption for Facebook Messenger and all messaging platforms on Instagram and other Facebook-owned websites. And with this, there's 100 organizations under the NSPCC that have signed an open letter warning that they say, hey, Facebook, your plans to bring in this encryption will undermine efforts to catch abusers of children. And with this, Home Secretary Priti Patel said she fully supported the move. And in a statement given to the BBC, she said, tech companies like Facebook have a vital responsibility to balance privacy with the safety of vulnerable children. Following my letter to Mark Zuckerberg, I met with Sheryl Sandberg and emphasized that Facebook encryption plans cannot be allowed to hamper their ability to protect young people from pedophiles online. We have also submitted detailed evidence to the U.S. Senate about these concerns. I fully support continued efforts of the NSPCC and children's charities around the world to engage Facebook on this issue. And they're, of course, lobbying the Facebook brand, which includes Facebook itself with Messenger, WhatsApp, and Instagram, to ensure that if law enforcement needs to, they want to be able to see what was sent inside those messages. And, you know, now we're at the point where we need to just highlight to people that you either have encryption or you don't. Because if there's a key, a third-party key, or a back door to undo that encryption, there's no encryption because potentially a bad actor could gain access to it. Or the company could choose to grant that key to certain three-letter organizations without telling anyone. And there is no encryption if there is a backdoor. That's what people need to understand about that. And it's a discussion, I think, that needs to be had in the public in the Western world, because this is something that the UK is obviously looking at. You guys in the US are looking at it too. And people need to decide, do we want privacy or do we want to have a look and allow people in to see what these messages have? It's a choice that people need to make. And personally, for me, I think I fall on the side of privacy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sympathetic to this group, and I mean, I get it. I'm not surprised that the governments are all for it. Like, of course they are. You got to understand too. At the same time, we're on these companies right and left because we're telling them you're not being careful with our information. We want more privacy. So it seems to me like it puts them in kind of a unwinnable situation. And believe me, I am no fan of Facebook, but what are you supposed to do? Like, I don't know.
Well, the technical answer to your question is that people should not become invested in social networks that don't let you apply your own encryption to it. That's the technical answer to it.
I never even thought about it.
Yeah, there's a
thing.
There's an email, or rather, not email, but there's a service called PGP called Pretty Good Privacy. that's the name, Pretty Good Privacy, completely open source. Uses well-known encryption methodologies to cryptographically lock down and sign emails, texts, files, whatever you want to do with it. And pretty much every modern email client supports PGP. So if you wanted to, and you can't do it with Gmail, but if you have any other email provider that's just a straight-up email provider, you can run PGP, and you can send cryptographically secure emails back and forth to people with no questions asked. Both sides of the equation need to have PGP installed in order to be able to encrypt and decrypt the emails. But, you know, if you want to communicate privately on the internet, this is one very easy way to do it with PGP in email. I realize it's the year 2020 and we're talking about using email as a secure communication method, but the ability to do so exists.
You mean if Hillary just had PGP, we would have never heard about those damn emails?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, essentially.
Yep.
Oh. Hmm. The more you know.
Yeah, so, and I mean, there's always going to be ways around it unless the government's saying, you know, outright, hey, encryption is illegal. And at that point, you have to ask, is it really going to be illegal? Because every website you go to today has that HTTPS identifier, which means that you are communicating with that website. And the traffic between you and that website is encrypted and nobody can see it except for you and the server.
Right. And I mean, and honestly, who thinks that? If the FBI went up there to old Mark, you really think that he's not going to give them what they want? Now, Apple proved that they won't. You think Mark will? Yeah. Mark.
Yeah.
He might get a tax cut. Mark will.
Yeah, definitely.
Just saying.
But this is something that we all, of course, need to just pay attention to because this discussion is happening now. And the governments on all sides are just not smart enough to, you know, take a decision that really doesn't benefit them. They're going to take the one that allows them to peep into everything. And if you want encryption, now is the time for us to be having this talk.
Yep.
So it's happening in the UK. I believe Senator Lindsey Graham and somebody else in the US is going to bring a similar piece of legislation in the US soon.
Of course he is.
Yeah. I have a story about him, but we'll save that for later. Next up, EA made almost $1 billion in microtransactions in the last quarter of 2019, $993 million for the quarter ending December 31st.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot, guys. We did it. We all did it, apparently. $1 billion worth.
Also, in total for the year 2019, $2.8 billion from microtransactions for EA.
Stick a fork in us. You think they're they damn sure ain't gonna change like that. What incentive in the world, Shane, would they have to cut down on microtransactions?
When the fact, if you look at it on year-over-year growth, that one grew by 27% and actual full game downloads only grew by 16% and brought in $317 million for the quarter.
That is why and people wondered, why are they turning to the government to curtail this? Because that was the only thing that possibly could have.
For the full fiscal year, $2.8 billion in microtransactions, as we already mentioned, for that year, but $780 million in full game downloads and $513 million in mobile games. So the companies are soon going to see their mobile game share, if that continues to grow, eclipse even the prices for full game downloads. And this is just EA, though, so it's of course could be different in other companies. Well,
start saving
as well.
Start getting a hold of all the games that you really like, because get ready for mobile land. That's all we're gonna get.
Yeah, and do you remember?
Yeah. remember
that April Fool's joke that we talked about? That Jagex could pull.
Oh yeah,
We've been sold to EA.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And you know what? You know what? I think. Hang on. I just got to look this up here, because I have a I want to be right before I do this, so just stand by on this, because let's see. Where is that one? I know we had a question last year about April Fools, and I'm trying to look that up. I don't remember what episode that was on, so that's what I'm pulling up right here now on this list. But in the meantime, looking at the prices involved in terms of the money on here, is that if you look at the other side of this, is that if you have games like Knights of the Old Republic, it actually sold way better than expected. So if you do want to make a game and have it sell well, the company could still do that. They just got to angle properly. But we all know that microtransactions are a lot easier to roll out than, full games and whatnot, right?
So. EA could literally buy Jagex with the money they made off microtransactions. Alone.
I think Jagex is worth more than $2.8 billion. Or, sorry. Yeah, you're right. They probably could. I don't know if Jagex is a billion company.
No. I think it was like $700 million, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they could literally buy it with their microtransaction money. That's sad, because, that's probably the next move. That's what they will start doing. They'll start buying everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, you have to ask if there's going to be regulations on that. Okay. I did find this, and, this is what I was afraid of. And this goes back to March 21st of 2019, episode 716. We had a question from someone named Mod Porky. If you had to come up with an April Fool's update for RS3, what would it be? This, EA.
Yeah, this right here.
EA buying a controlling stake. Because that would send people up the wall.
Oh my god, could you imagine? Could you imagine a certain sight and the love that it would express?
we laugh about that, but I don't think corporate law allows you to make jokes like that.
You can if it's a meme, right?
I guess you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jagex could just tweet it and, retract it before 12 p.m. on the 1st. So, but anyways, back to the story about EA. They also said that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order performed significantly above expectations, and that it was modeling sales for about 6 to 8 million copies, but now they're expecting to reach 10 million copies for the current fiscal year ending March 31st.
Yeah, I was hoping that was like our ray of light. That was going to be like, that was our proof that, look, EA, no, single player games are still cool. If you don't need microtransactions for it to sell. And I was feeling good. And then I found out that they made $2.8 billion in microtransactions.
Billion.
What's B?
Let's see. Some news on Apex Legends, and they finally then confirmed that there will be a new Battlefield game this year, launching on the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Alrighty. Last piece of tech news, Emoji 13, the new standard for Emoji version 13, has been unveiled with a new selection of emojis that will be appearing on our devices at some point this year. So some of the new emojis, and you just tell me if any of these jump out at you, include a smiling face with a tear, a disguised face, pinched fingers, an anatomical heart, lungs, ninja, people in tuxedos, veils, and feeding a baby. MX claws. I don't know what the MX stands for on that. People hugging. Black cat, bisons, mammoths, beavers, polar bears. Definitely very northern on the bison, mammoth, and beavers.
I don't know. Mammoths are extinct. Is beaver a northern thing?
Yeah, beavers are big up here, as are bison.
How big are the beavers, they're saying?
I don't know. I've never seen one in
real life. Are they huge? You've never seen a beaver?
In real life, no. No.
Oh, man.
No. Polar bears? The dodo. There seems to be a trend here on extinction with the mammoth and the dodo.
That's two of them, yeah.
Feathers, seals, beetles, cockroaches, flies, worms, a potted plant, blueberries, olives, bell peppers, flatbread, tamale, fondue, a teapot, a nice little red teapot. As one. Bubble tea, rocks, wood, huts, a pickup truck, roller
what
skates.
What emotions are these supposed to be?
I don't know.
Symbolizing?
I don't know. Magic wand, the pinata, nesting dolls, sewing needles, knots, thong sandals, military helmets, accordions, a large bongo drum. Coins, boomerangs, screwdrivers, ladders, plungers, toothbrushes, and finally, a headstone and a placard.
Huh.
And then, of course, there's also a transgender symbol and a transgender flag.
I didn't know there was a symbol either.
Yeah. But the placard is one, and I mean, it's a very dark trend, I mean, with headstones and extinct animals here, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the emotions we're going to be expressing over the next few years. probably around November time, there's going to be a lot of people in the United States expressing. Well,
maybe the pinata for some?
Maybe. I was thinking more like the dodo.
Dead as a dodo, as they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I figured we'd end off on this one because it's just a little bit more lighthearted. And, you know, the emojis as they come out are always changing. So
The name of the place that does that, though, it sounds like it's straight Orwellian.
Unicode?
Yeah, but it's like the Uniform Consortium, something like what it stands for.
It's the Unicode Consortium, which is reviewed by the Unicode Emoji Subcommittee and selected on the basis of emoji selection factors in submitting emoji proposals. Yeah, that is certainly.
What do you do all day? I accept or deny emojis. Sweet.
Oh, boy. Oh, the Unicode Consortium. Well, and I mean, we're even at the point where, on the Apple side at least, I don't know about on the Windows side, but Apple's newest programming language, Swift, you can actually put emojis in your code. And you
really?
And you can have variables that are named emojis. So if you wanted to, you could have a frog variable.
Huh.
Yeah. That's, any emoji, really. You could have that. It's something not many people know. Anyways, let us move on to our achievements of the week. Only a few of them this week. Not the bumper crop that we had over Christmas or anything like that, but starting off...
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming. This is the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yahoo with 99 Strength on February 5th. Eric's with 99 Thieving on the 4th. F.E. Supert J with 99 Attack and 99 Strength on the 4th. Then we have Yitzi with 99 Divination on February 3rd.
Alrighty. Then we have Eric's with 99 Agility on February 2nd. Yitzi with 99 Crafting on February 2nd. And 99 Prayer on February 2nd. Then we have Robbie with 120 Farming on February 1st. There you go, Shane. And Lady Claw with 120 Slayer on January 31st. Nice job, everybody.
Nicely done all around. And yeah, I mean, it definitely is the calm before the storm. And as we always say here, double XP weekends are so fun. And, you know, it comes from after that. And I'm hoping we'll come up with a way of being able to read out all the achievements in some meaningful way on the podcast after double XP. But we'll just have to wait and see. So, all right. Pick of the week time. This is a pick that goes back years, and I was very surprised that it had never been a pick of the week before. Do you know what that is?
No, I'm curious now.
Minecraft.
What?
Minecraft.
It's never been the pick?
No.
For real?
For real.
Huh.
Yeah. And, of course, people know it as the game that is, you know, you can go into survival and build up from nothing but your hands, build through dirt and then stone, then iron, all the way up to diamond. Or you can go into creative mode and just build for the hell of it. You know, we've seen people build things like computers and the Starship Enterprise and even a scale model of Falador, I think, was built at some point or another, somewhere on that. So, I mean, it the level of detail that people put into this game is truly astounding, and there are hundreds of mod packs that can be installed for it. I talked about my nuclear mod pack at the time last year, and I should have just done Minecraft as the pick of the week then, but I did the mod pack instead on that. But, you know, I don't think many people – like, I always looked at Minecraft as being, oh, it's just a building game. There's really nothing to – look out for, and maybe, you know, I'll just give it a pass. But, you know, it's something that you can just do. It's a relaxing game, just like RS, in a way, unless you, you know, make it all too crazy with Blood Moon mods and all other kind of crazy stuff like that. But pretty much anything you want to do, you can make happen. One of the mod packs, for example, is called Matter Overdrive, and it's got a good number of Star Trek related features to it, like phaser rifles and androids, which is very timely.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Pretty much anything you want to do in Minecraft is going to be able to be done. And, you know, I'm talking to probably the 1% out there of our listeners who haven't played this before, because I would imagine at this point everybody has played Minecraft or at least heard of it. So I'm just going to stop right now.
I've heard of it. I've never played it. Because, yeah, I don't know. I always thought it looked like Legos, so I never really...
It is.
I never tried it. I should have probably given it a chance by now.
It would probably be okay for accessibility with you, because it doesn't rely too much on sound. Like, there are sounds when you break a rock or something to that effect, and you can use a magnifier, your Windows magnifier, to see what's going on in there. But it would definitely be worth trying, I think. It's not something where, you know, you got to go through a huge list of powers and whatnot in order to do that, like some MMOs are out there. So I think you could probably give it a go.
Okay.
There's also an augmented reality version, which I never tried before. And I mean, I still think AR, augmented reality, is a bit of a gimmick, but that's aside from the point here. So the pick of the week is Minecraft and the various ways that you can play it. So, all right. What have you been up to on RS?
I've been making a lot of potions. I say a lot, not really a lot. I'm trying to get ready for about... I can only afford basically about 3K worth of material for overloads.
Yeah.
Doing that for...
What level herb lore are you?
Like, not much. It's 104.
Okay.
So... Yeah.
All right. And I assume that's going to be your double XP plan?
Some of it because I need potions now. And I'm pretty sure when I got 99, I did it on a double XP and I it was like 3K. And so and it took me a long time to go through them. So I'm like, if I do that again,
you'll be fine.
I'll be good for a while. And we'll just see what happens after that. But it's all, I mean, dude, it's so expensive.
Other thing I would highly recommend looking into are the power bursts. If you're just looking for a way to train. Because they don't use traditional herb lore ingredients in terms of herbs. They do use a potion here or there. But, you know, at 104, 105, the power burst of vitality uses cerebrews and rocktails and poison slime. So,
oh yeah,
that's relatively easy to get.
That would have been great until somebody made a video about it.
You can get poison slime now from your farm daily by just doing frogs. You can get around 270 a day or so.
Yeah, it sent the syrup just out of this world this week.
Yeah, they really are out of this world this week, the prices. So, oh boy. I just had another look at it, and I gotta go check my farm after we're done here.
Jay's excited.
I've made an immense amount of money this week with my herb lore farming stuff, and that's why I said last week I was rubbing my hands at the idea of a double XP weekend.
I bet you were.
All right, anything else?
No, I mean, that's been about it. I mean, I'm still getting some charms for because I'm, you know, double XP, herb lore, so I'm gonna need who knows what else, but those two for sure. And probably strength. I'm gonna finish off some 120s I have here. I got about three or four 120s I can pull off.
Yeah, I haven't decided if I want to go down that rabbit hole because, I mean, I feel if I'm 120 before an update goes to 120, I'm not going to be able to enjoy it when it comes out.
See, I feel like I'll enjoy it a lot more because I can play with whatever is there.
See, and you know, on the other hand, I'm having this idea to buy a couple bonds for the month of February and get my alt going again to do herb lore and farming. But the thing is that how am I going to get funds to get enough herbs between now and double XP weekend, right? Because I need to get to 81 herb lore first, and then it just backs up from there, right? So it's just a question of I should have probably started that sooner, and I've really been feeling like I really want to do the 120 farming and 120 herb lore thing again, exclusively with the new content. So that might be something I look into, but I'm taking the stage away from you unless you have anything else you want to mention.
No, that is it, man. You go ahead.
All right. I'm going to grace the people with two of the frog's names that you can get in the player-owned farm.
So, this is great.
Yeah, this is really great. So I've been doing the frogs to get the poison slime, and one of the frogs that you can get is, of course, Pepe the Frog.
Yes.
Which, of course, has, you know, been co-opted by the Donald Trump supporters going back all the way to 2015, so much so that even the creator of Pepe the Frog has distanced himself from the poor frog. But here we have it. It's 2020, and Pepe is in the bank of names that you can get for your frogs in-game.
He's never coming out of that pen.
Then it went one step further, and I'm not sure about the implications of this one, because this is something else entirely. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
I got a female frog named Oprah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, all the other names are relatively innocuous, but Oprah is just there.
It's funny. Well, at least it wasn't like a pig. What?
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It could have been worse.
An absolute unit.
And the trait that Oprah the Frog came with was fussy eater.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just amusing, some of the little Easter eggs that have been slipped into this. And I mean, you don't normally think about that, but lo and behold, there they are. But aside from that, you know, a bit of woodcutting, alternating back and forth between the golden bamboo and the elders. And, you know, I'm still on that idea that I'm going to do elder, do 120 woodcutting with elders until there's a more mining-esque way of doing woodcutting. I'll just say where I can choose whether I lean backward or go full intensive in it. So
you're going to die of old age before you get 120. Good luck, Shane.
Yeah, let me just tell you what my current woodcutting XP is, just so the listeners can see what a crazy idea this is. So an elder log gives you, and we're using the wiki extensively in this podcast episode. Gosh, where is it? I always get confused if the elder log it has the XP on it, or if it's the elder tree that has it on it. I got to go to the tree page from the looks of it. So, oh, it's right here at the top. 325 XP. And assuming I didn't have double XP, which I'm going to burn on double XP weekend, I currently am at 44.3 million XP. And let's just, for the sake of argument, say 120 is at 104 mil. So if we subtract 44.3 from that, I got 59.7 mil left to go. And if we take that and we divide it out, you see how crazy this idea is, in that it is 183,000 elder logs.
I was about to say it's actually not as bad as I anticipated, but no, it's pretty bad. I mean, especially when, like, you can pull in a max of, like, what, 100?
100 an hour, pass. Yeah.
100 an hour?
I think. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I've never actually timed it. I know it's pretty bad. But, you know, the whole fun point about this is that those are currently selling for 8.9K.
That makes sense. Oh.
Anywho, you can also use elder logs to make enchanted notepaper with the invention skill, FYI.
Oh. Did not know that.
Neither did I. That's the power of Wiki. RuneScape Wiki.
Wow.
All right. I believe that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. I realize that was a bit drawn out in terms of what have we been doing, but I really wanted to just share how crazy of an idea that was.
It's fun. Sometimes yeah, you're doing cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, mobile's coming, right? So I'll be able to be on. It's coming. I'll be able to be on 20 hours a day when I'm not sleeping.
That's true.
So. All right.
Quick. Nerf the damn woodcutting XP, Shane. Got too many people out there. You're going to need a fix for elder logs, damn it.
Alrighty, well. If you guys want full episodes delivered automatically to you, subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, YouTube, update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, and just click on the one that makes the most sense to you, the one that you like, or visit us on YouTube, youtube.com/rsbnb, where we post these episodes and more throughout the week. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone. And I guess it's time to start prepping for elder log woodcutting.
Yeah. All right. See you next time.